Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 525 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
Big D's. How you going, fellas? I'm super fucking jacked on life because I'm jacked up on fucking tablets, and when the tablets run out, I'm going to fucking bed.
Now, oh, have we got the good stuff? Are we fucking breaking badding it?
No. No. I haven't had the beautiful warm kiss and embrace of a fucking real pseudo fucking medication for, I don't know, ever since they started cracking down on American. Years. Ugh. A decade.
Look, it is one of my fucking pet peeves about junkies, and I have many.
I fucked up for everybody.
You have many junkies?
No, I have many pet peeves about junkies. Yeah, that they have ruined the already fucking unpleasant experience of having a cold. They took out the only fucking joy.
Yeah.
Which was, you could
be off from work from having a cold and then be up until 4 a.m. doing housework. Like, the fucking productivity was off the charts.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, no, just on the regular shit and on those fucking ones that you were talking to me about last week as well. Because I have developed a proper cough over, like not a cough with nothing behind it, an actual cough with stuff behind it, and I was fully fucking fully overcome by some fucking disease. Like, look, I'm going to point the finger at the always reason, fucking school, no doubt.
Yep. So there you go.
Parents who send their kids to school when they're sick, I can't.
Is it lung butter or is it like lung tapioca pudding?
It's not too much. It's barely any of that, you know. So, but it was actually in my head though, like, because, you know, I was saying previously, like, I've had the cough is sort of lingering for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But with nothing behind it, but now I've actually had like the proper sort of, you know, head cold and shit as well. So,
man,
just tamping that down with fucking meds and
like I agree with you, and I was like this pre-COVID, parents that send their kids to school sick are fucked, and people that go to work sick because they're the cunts that also want to act like a martyr.
But also at the same time, people learn nothing from the Japanese people in the lockdowns.
Yeah.
And they've just gone straight back to just being dirty cunts.
Yep.
Coughing and not wearing masks.
However, when we had COVID in the house over the holidays.
Yep.
If Em and I didn't have it.
Yep.
And the kids had come to us with the level of symptom that they had.
Yeah, you would have been like, oh, I didn't know.
That's it. If that had come and gone, we are too sick to go to school, we need a day off, we would have gone, oh, fucking bullshit.
Yeah, but when you hear the stories about such and such was at school on fucking Monday last week or whatever.
And they were sick.
One of my kids was off and you know, her best friend was off on Monday as well. They were both obviously made sick by another friend that was off for most of last week, but came to school at the end of last week and still wasn't great.
Yep.
So that's obviously where theirs came from.
Yep.
But even her friend was at school on Monday, even though she was sick like my daughter was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, both of the parents were actually, you know, at the office that day or
and here is that other thing. There are those people out there who, you know, as much as it fucks over other people, if they don't show up to work, they don't get paid, they don't get sick days.
Yeah.
So
life's hard.
That
don't
does
get
suck.
Paid.
If only there was a group of people that could fight for their rights. I don't know what that'd be called.
Yeah. Like you thought, are you talking about like if they could somehow like coagulate and form like a unified front to
That's it. and
like
and
a family show, reunion except work
and show unity amongst one another.
What's
the word? I don't know. Is there even a word for it? I'm not sure.
By the way, I went bowling the other day. Got a strike. don't know why that came to mind. It was just a random segue. But look, if only then those poor people that have sick pay and could take care of their kids. But
I'd love the fucking the sole traders fucking union. That'd be amazing. Give me fucking paid leave and paid sick days. I don't know who's paying for it. That would be amazing. Because I tell you, it would slow the shit down if you could just fucking sleep for a day. It really would.
Yep.
Anyway, Big D's, are you back? Are the games started again in the C-grade Toowoomba touch competition?
Back on Saturday.
This last Saturday gone, so you've had a game.
Yeah, we had a game. Zero tries for the Big Diesel.
Quick line score, though. C-grade Deezers, how many did you score?
Yeah, we got up 8-5.
8-5.
Real chippy game. There was a lot of smack talk.
Give me an example of a smack talk that you didn't care about.
Oh, just the other teams, you know, younger guys that probably should be playing B-grade and decide that they want to come down to C-grade because they will carve up. And, well, didn't that work out poorly for you, you fucking cocksuckers, because we fucking smatches.
But what's the sort of thing that you say to someone?
Oh, just, you know, like, oh, my fucking, you know, they're going to make a touch. Oh, look at that, my arm's just fucking flicked up and I've smacked someone in the chops. Oh, fuck, mate, I've slipped, I've whacked you in the throat there. And just, there's a couple of younger fellas on our team, and one's Brad's young fella, and one of the other blokes has got, you know, and generally they'll start in sort of D or C grade younger guys like 13 or whatever, and give them a bit of experience, you know, playing as they come through the grades. And young Harry put some footwork on a winger on the other team, and he's a young kid, he's 13, he's fucking snapped this guy's ankles and scored in the corner, and we've all gone up because he's a young kid, and we're just celebrating him. And old mate's fucking blown up. I'm 63, you know, I'm 63. The guy, right? Wasn't
that's the guy who got his ankles broke.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't everyone cheer that, you know, a 63-year-old? It was like, fuck off, mate. He's 13.
Okay, Darius Boyd.
Yeah, what are we supposed to get you to sign a waiver and check your age before a cunt snaps your ankles? Shut up. Fuck off. And it's like... So,
you took the field.
Yeah, exactly.
Take the fucking consequences.
Yeah.
You've been shit.
Yeah.
You old cunt.
Exactly right. So, there was a bit of chat, couple of instances where it came close to a bit of push and shove. And
what's the penalty for push and shove in the touch?
Oh, you can get force subbed and stuff like that. I think, you know, fucking
force subbed.
And what's the period of time that they can bring you?
I'm fucked if I know what that is. It might be.
How many times have you pushed someone on purpose, Glennie?
No, look, I'm
gassed. Fucking come here, I'll push you.
I will say that the wing rotation with the young fellas and the Big Diesel, the young fellas were out there. They did start to get a little bit chippy there at one stage, and I jumped on the wing because I legit thought a couple of the boys were going to end up in a scrap. And I was like, you know what? Probably not best to have a young teenage boy fucking standing there watching that. So, we got up, had a win. And
Can I just say it's an absolute testament to the strength and conditioning staff for your C-grade touch side Ds when you talk about a wing rotation.
Well, it shouldn't actually be a rotation because wingers generally play the whole game.
Exists.
But you've got to give the young kid minutes.
The Brad Fittler School of Touch Coaching.
even Brett Plowman played 80.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
At what stage do you change your name, being, you know, the god of C grade? From the Big D's to the Big C's.
Because I play like I've got cancer.
No, just the big C's.
Oh, fuck. But, no, good times. So I think I haven't actually looked at a ladder. We might be on top of the ladder. The fucking legends. Well,
everything. It's all coming together.
It's all coming up.
Did you hear any Big D's calls come from the sidelines or anything this week?
Zero.
Zero, fuck. All right.
Yeah.
We live in hope.
Look, the greater touch community would not be very accepting of the absolute rubbish surrounding the Big Diesel.
Can I tell you that the greater touch community
can go fuck themselves?
Not just in Toowoomba, but just fucking worldwide, can suck my dick, because the Big Diesel is going to become a fucking thing, and it's going to start in Toowoomba, and then it's going to be like a fucking nuclear explosion. The fallout is going to be felt.
Could you imagine people that hear about it and then see it in the flesh and go, fuck, that's a disappointment. That is an anticlimax. What the fuck?
Well, they go,
I drove all this way because I heard about this fucking fable.
So are you the Royals, Glenn, or are you the Lions?
Lions.
You're currently second.
Nice work. There you go. Who's on top, Saints?
Well, the Royals.
Royals.
Oh, there you go. We knocked off the top team. Fucking hell, good.
There you go.
Those are the ones you beat.
No, the Saints are third.
Yeah.
Yeah, Saints always fucking under Glenny. NRL fucking touch footy. Oh, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. Saints are pretty good. So, anyway, we beat them too, though. So.
Oh,
how good is the Big D's?
Oh, no, we didn't beat Saints.
Your for and against is neutral, Glennie. You're letting them down.
Yeah, look, I've really got to start getting back over the line. Still have scored more tries than old Dreadlocks McGee in A grade, so just saying.
Against a similar standard of competition. So it's directly comparable.
No. Hey, what the fuck? Whose side are you on, motherfucker?
Yours, so, obviously, I just said.
Yes. So, good
times. How is the Toowoomba Touch Football Association sponsored by the New South Wales government?
No, I don't know that it is. I don't know what that is. That might be a fucking Google ad.
Peter Sterling.
It says principal partner, DoorDash. Major partners, Bristol, Red Rooster, Pain Away, New South Wales government.
That might be NRL Touch, like the national affiliate.
Oh, okay, cool. Mm. Yeah. Fair enough. That would make sense.
But enough about the Big D's. What about my business partner / best mate / secretary of Toowoomba Touch Association just dragging in fucking lucrative sponsorship for Toowoomba Touch, such as Harvey Norman and F45 for a short period of time until F45 goes broke, I'm sure. But
until they completely go cut up, yeah. I mean, only 50% of them have gone cut up so far.
maybe this sponsorship deal is what tips them over the edge.
That's odd that F45 would want anyone associated with them to know that there are other forms of exercise available anywhere on the planet.
Competitive exercise.
Such is the salesman. That fucking pulls these deals on board.
Yes. It's also, how do they go broke charging so much a fucking week and only having to buy a couple of kettlebells and fucking some boxes and shit?
That's fair.
It comes to jump on. Right.
Let's go.
Mate, that's enough touch football chat. You know that we're just going to get bombarded tomorrow.
I feel like that was a fucking bumper crop of touch football there. Like, that was a crop right then. So that should satisfy the people who've been waiting for this fucking ridiculous mid-season hiatus to finish.
Grand sum total of zero people.
Motherfuckers were close to getting a ladder predictor on that shit.
Well, yeah. Motherfuckers, you're the motherfucker.
Yeah. There's only one.
No, I'm saying those motherfuckers were close. I was going to give it to them.
Okay.
I got the drawer in front of me.
Oh wow.
Oh fucking! This is going to be this.
Fuck. This, who we got this week?
This is going to be the most closely fucking watched touch competition.
You got the Sharks on Saturday, Glenn.
Oh, shit.
So there's a good chance. What do you mean, shit? They're fucking last.
I've scored against them, so I could be.
Yeah,
could be
you got the pressure's on. I want to see two tries out of you this week.
Yeah.
Righto. It's on. What about a hat trick? Can you start up a? Can you? How about we get a website? Has the Big Diesel scored a hat trick yet? .com. Just like old times.
Oh, fuck.
Just go to www.chuggachuggachugga.com.au.
Tootmotherfuckers.com.
My Siri just popped up and said, I don't know how to respond to that.
No, I'm sure you don't, Siri.
No one does.
Neither do I.
I don't know even. What do you fucking start you off then, bitch? All right, so round 20 started off a fucking decade ago on Friday. With the Knights 34 defeating the Tigers 18 in Newcastle. The Knights tries to Mazu Ponga. Best, Saifidi, Tyson Gamble, double to Dom Young. Three conversions from seven attempts to Kalen Ponga. The Tigers 18 came through a double to Jareem Buller. Appy with the other try. Wakeham 3 from 3. Glennie.
Can we get back to talking about touch football? I enjoyed that. I do not
you
enjoy
can talk, you can,
about
You can
shit.
Talk about it in touch football terms if you like.
Well, the Tigers played like a team of big diesels.
I don't know. People like the big diesel.
I don't know. Define people. Are you good, mate?
Yeah, mate.
Shining light of the game and the season, really, for the Tigers, Jareem Buller, was, the only real positive of the game
from
the Tigers'
diesel.
Perspective. Oh, fucking please stop. From the Knights, I guess the hardest part of the game to stomach was the fact that we let Ponga cut us to ribbons and the ensuing commentator fellatio that followed was fuck me dead. He had a good game, I get it. The Tigers were not good. The Knights fucking did what they had to do, put a reasonable score on them, and Ponga didn't get knocked out. That should be the beginning and the end of it. But the commentators continued and just to fellate him.
It was very similar to that for that first game that you played against earlier in the season, where it was just an unenjoyable game to watch. Just as a neutral fan of rugby league, both sides were pretty average at times. Probably by and large, but and the difference in the margin was just a couple of moments of brilliance.
I'll tell you, Glennie, you look at it. One team completed at 80%, the other team completed at 63%. In no way did you respect the fucking football. We spoke about this on the membersode. For the last couple of years, one of the Tigers' problems has just been how quick they are to compress in the middle of the field, especially very close to their try line, and having no plan for teams that spread the ball wide quickly. So one decent width in pass from dummy half, and it happened both sides of the field to you. And yet, you know, look, Dom Young is fucking blindingly quick. He is absolutely fucking scorchingly fast.
Big diesel areas, really.
Yeah, 100% he is. The only reason he's got dreadlocks is because they start with D. It's his little homage to you. But like we said, we're three guys that sit down and watch the games and have picked up on this. How has nothing been done about that for the last 3 years?
And because David Ferner is the defensive coach.
I reckon that's the way that's their defensive pattern. They're coached to do that, and they don't break it down. They don't stop it from getting out to the edges.
No,
and that's where it falls down.
Yeah, interesting. Now we're going to try something new this week and moving forward with socials. So we've had some feedback that people miss the days of having the game threads up while the games are on. They want to get in there and talk shit while the games are happening. That made it absolute fucking murder to get the comments for the show after the game. So we're going to put back up on Facebook the game threads while the games are live. So while the games kick off, so you guys can get in there, talk your shit to each other, bag each other out, you know, make fun of the fucking Tigers. And then we're going to have a segment at the end of the reviews where we're going to go back over the socials and go those. I'll put a call out on Twitter. I'll do that again next week, and I'll do another one in our Facebook group, and you guys can give us your talking point of the round, something you want to say about your team, any other team, or any blinding hot takes that you have that you would like our thoughts on. So we won't do socials now. We'll do a big one at the end.
All right, done. Okay. So we're moving on to the Broncos 44 defeating the Bulldogs 24 at Belmore. The Broncos 44 tries to Reynolds, Capewell, Billy Walters, Dean Mariner, Willison, Mam, Piakura, and Farnworth. Six conversions from seven attempts to Adam Reynolds. The Dogs tries to Preston Corey Waddell and a double to Jake Averillo for conversions to Matt Burton.
I thought the Bulldogs were pretty well outclassed throughout, which was a shame from their perspective because the atmosphere at Belmore I thought was great.
Yep.
Obviously, Josh Reynolds' retirement and his send-off, you know, it's just a shame that the Bulldogs are that far off the pace. Because
It's not a shame. I mean, you say like.
Well, I mean, for their fans,
it's fucking great. It's fuck them, like. But I mean, like the Bulldogs really turned it on for Grubb in his last game. Like they played like shit in Reggie's.
Yeah.
Played like shit in first grade, and handed him a pair of fucking games where they. We're fucking imaginary chances of winning both games, and so as a beautiful homage to the legacy of Grubb.
Gus put on a big brunette wig, handed him the match reports.
Oh God,
there was nothing in the envelope.
Oh my days! There was elements of this game that were the absolute worst of the Bulldogs, and their goal line defence at times, there was a couple of tries over from close to the line, which were flat out embarrassing, and not of first grade standard. And look, my team's got plenty of plays in them that are not of first grade standard too. But with the again, we go back to the money they've spent and the hype around Seraldo, and it's delivered that they have to be better.
And the money they've spent, like, you know, through the forwards and stuff as well. And the fact that the Broncos had, you know, a couple of forwards with, you know, like low experience forwards in the side. And exactly. They still, like, you know, and they it's, yeah. You wouldn't have known given the resistance placed against them.
And no, the exactly. Sin bin. So take into consideration that Brisbane had a player in the bin as well.
Yeah.
Looking at them, though, I'm still concerned that they're leaking 24 points against the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
There are a couple of times where the Broncos just seemed... They did that thing that young, successful teams tend to do as they come up and mature together, where they're starting to expect the win now.
Yep.
They're starting to take the foot off the pedal. And, you know, you could argue the fact that, yeah, that's fine, they can do that. They still won the game. But better teams will take advantage of that and 100%. Come back harder.
I think a positive for the Broncos is I did see some glimpses in plays with Capewell and Reynolds where it was obvious that they were trying to take those bigger moments and the opportunities for the Broncos to put points on by the scruff of the neck, which is what you want from, you know, as the season goes on and, you know, provided they don't fade spectacularly, you know, into the finals. Those guys, Capewell in particular, he's a big game player.
He's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
And Reynolds, you know, proviso if he stays healthy, of course, which is always a question mark because he's the world's most injured player. But the Broncos need those guys to drag them, the young fellas along with them.
Yep. Next
game. Moving on. All right. The North Queensland Cowboys 19 defeated the mighty Manly Seabs Eagles 8 in a weird scoreline for Brookie Oval. The Cowboys 19 came through tries to Cotter, Nane, and Drinkwater. Val 3 conversions and Chad Townsend with a field goal. Manly's tries through Dean Madison on debut and Brad Parker and no conversions. This game, this could have been 50, honestly. I mean, I haven't looked at the statistics or anything, but there was a period of the game there where the Cowboys were rolling through like the way when they're, you know, like last year with their back row, were just fucking rolling through so easily and making so much ground. And it's unbelievable that they could only muster 3 tries in this game and with conversions making the margin bigger than it really was.
Funnily you say that. The Cowboys' average set distance was 45 metres.
Right.
And Manly's average set distance was almost bang on 40.
Right. Feels like there must have been passages where it was far more than that for the Cowboys, because it felt like they were going fucking 60 a fucking set easily.
They did edge Manly out in their kick return meter, so it may have just been that they were starting their sets further up, so it gave that impression.
Yeah, and it's just testament again the fact that Daly can actually, he can kick a side into contention to keep a game fucking competitive, even when the fucking forwards are doing absolutely fucking nothing. And when I talk about forwards who do absolutely nothing, everyone except for Paseka, who's fucking great. I mean, Paseka this year, his season has been fucking like top five prop in the game statistic season. But fuck me, the cunt's just not getting any fucking help. And, you know, particularly the obviously Woods and fucking Sipley. And so the bench in particular gave him no fucking assistance whatsoever.
Yeah.
Maddo had a pretty good debut. I tell you, I hadn't really, you know, I don't, because Ryan Madison isn't a Manly player, and I've never really followed much about him except the jokes about him, you know, rather than pay the fine, have like those 3 or 4 weeks off the suspension at the start of the season or whatever. But on the socials, they had a really great, his brother gave, you know, presented him with his Manly jersey for his debut, and his dad was there, and like the stuff they said and everything is fucking top notch. I love that shit, seeing young players get their first, you know, their debut jersey and shit. Mm. And I mean, for him to score a try, he came on well before he was supposed to, because Garrick got elbowed in the face and had to go off for an HIA and get his fucking, you know, plastered up. So he was brought on like straight away when he wasn't probably looking for it. And then he was, you know, right place, right time to score a try with his first touch of the ball, pretty much. So, which was a fucking great moment for him. But fuck me, I mean, it's great to see the determination of the fucking side as far as not conceding a stack of points when the actual narrative of the game and the flow of the game is against them, to the point that suggests that they should have conceded like 36 to 50 points in that game. But it also lays out exactly where they need fucking, where they need, you know, player injections, and like they need fucking props, like end of story. They need fucking props.
Even more specifically, you need fucking depth. You need a bench that will come on, and even if it works at 80%.
Yeah, and this is why and this is why they fucking imported the, you know, cunt fucking Matt Lodge through the week on a training trial. Roosters have paid that cunt out his entire contract.
Fuck.
So he's sitting on 600 G's, and so Manly signed him to a training trial, and so they're paying him $1,000 a game.
So what does that do to the Roosters' salary cap? Is that included in this year?
Oh, yeah, I'd say so. I mean, they've paid it, haven't they? So, yeah, so...
That has to go to his victims.
Yeah, I bet you fucking none. I mean, I'm sure he's fucking Chewbacca'd his way out of that fucking, you know, paying all that back. Surely. I mean, I don't care to look into it, but and he'll never fucking... I was chatting to some friends earlier today, actually, about it, and I said, like, he'll never, ever sit well with me having that cunt in the team. And, I mean, even if he plays the fucking... Even if he plays amazingly, he would have to win a Clive Churchill medal in a grand final win for me to even think about fucking going, yeah, all right. you're done good. But he played for Blacktown last weekend, killed it, scored a try. So obviously he was coming straight in. Yeah. When you see that, like what Sipley and Woods dished up last week, and so he's straight in. And so look, if he can give Paseka some kind of backup, and also if he can just fucking make some of these other lazy fat cunts think, well, shit, you know, I better lift, otherwise, you know, because now they're actually the guys getting dropped. That's, you know, you want competition for spots, and I mean, you know, competition with a cunt. It's not the greatest thing, but if he's only going to cost us like $7,000 or $8,000 till the end of the year, it's probably worth it. You know, it's worth a chuck in terms of just providing that competition. Cowboys, they're fucking quietly got themselves back over the last sort of 5 or 6 weeks. I mean, among the best defense in the comp over that period, the best attack in the comp over that period, they've just sneakily fucking got themselves kind of, I wouldn't say 2022 level just yet, but they're definitely fucking building at the right time of year. Origin's done and dusted.
Yeah,
and so now they just, you know, now all they've got to do is just fucking just build on what they've been doing for the last month and a half.
See, the thing is, they're clear enough. They're 3 points clearer than Knights.
Yep.
They're currently sitting on 24. The Knights on 21. the Cowboys are on 24 points with a points differential of 49. Tied on 24 points above them is the Rabbits and the Eels.
Oh yeah, and, yeah. I'm not saying they're going to guarantee to get him, but they appear to be one of the sides that's building.
Oh, 100%.
Just in terms of form and everything.
I'm just concerned they may have left it too late. That's all.
I think they're almost certainties. I mean, I think there's other teams that are going to drop out ahead of them, before them, just based on the strength of the draw ahead and stuff.
That's it. And here's the really interesting thing about it. There's like the Raiders are currently fourth.
Yeah, but the Raiders are with ridiculous. Bad for and against, comparatively speaking.
100%. They've got a negative for and against. And you don't hit another negative for and against until Manly.
Yeah, exactly.
In 11th.
Yep.
So, but again, can they lose enough games to drop out of the eight?
Yeah, definitely. And because they've got an even tally of points, it's not even about the amount of losing them. I mean, they just have to tie someone. When it comes down to it, and the for and against will put them out,
yeah.
unless they can rectify it over the next 2 months.
They're four points clear of seventh and eighth.
Yeah, but that's only two. That's two games though, too. And some of those teams haven't had a bye yet either. So they're down below them. So it's gaps can be bridged.
No, the Raiders have a bye up on the Eels and the Rabbits.
Right.
Oh no, sorry, the other way around.
No, it's the other way around.
Right.
Yeah,
you're right.
So that's only one win, and I mean that's
17.
And like, so one win over what, seven games?
Yeah,
is not, and that's just to tie them. So I mean, that's all they really need. And I'm sure both of them will get them. Especially the Rabs this week have got their, they got the guys back finally. So we'll get to them anyway. The Roosters 16 defeated the Storm 30 defeated the Roosters 16 at the SCG. The Storm tries a hat-trick to Xavier Coates, Jerome Hughes, Harry Grant with tries, Nick Meaney, 5 conversions. The Roosters, a double to Daniel Tupou, Wong with the other try, Suali'i with 2 conversions.
I think the Storm are tapering nicely, and, this game, Grant, Hughes, Munster were in complete control, and Xavier Coates, capped off
not as consistently or convincingly as the Cowboys, but you can start to see the signs that they actually. It's kind of more puzzling with the Storm though too, because the cattle hasn't really changed, and they've had they've had the exact same lineup out there and just delivered some absolute shit performances.
Yeah,
but then they've turned around and
just to bring out a this week in league trope favourite. This year's Melbourne Storm have the biggest gap between floor and ceiling that I've seen in a Storm team in a decade.
Mm.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Yeah, I'd agree. The Roosters, on the other hand, they've basically lost everything that has made them the Roosters under Robinson.
Yeah.
I think he needs to that's fair. He needs to evolve as a coach as much as the players need to evolve to the change in the game. And, their goal line in defence... A goal line defence, rather, in particular, just nowhere near what we've come to expect from them as a club. And, he constantly, you mentioned it last week, constantly talks about playing the Roosters way and doing...
Can I tell you, there's nothing that the fucking Roosters fans love more than a losing post-match presser where he talks about getting back to the Roosters style of football. They fucking love it.
Yeah.
They're out there fucking giggiting themselves to death.
Oh, they're absolutely giggiting with delight.
That is
Did I interrupt you in the middle of a thought then, Glennie, or no?
No, that's my point. I think the Storm are, they're building really well, and the Roosters are they're going backwards.
Yeah.
Interesting stat here. This kick defusal stat. Now,
so does that mean a kick that doesn't result in a try? When's it defused?
This is thing. What is the defusal? Is it
is it a kick that they don't score from and you don't knock on and give them a repeat set from?
Who fucking knows? There's zero definition.
It's like the VB hard earned index.
You look at this, I'm thinking here. Surely this has to be an error. Melbourne's kick defusal percentage was 38%.
Yeah. Define defusal.
Yeah.
It'll be out there somewhere.
Yeah. Anyway,
We'll be able to find it. Someone will tell us. I mean, yeah, we don't have to find it. Someone will tell us. Someone tell us. Why should we have to do it?
The Roosters are just a fucking rich man's bulldogs at the moment. They've gone out and spent a whole bunch of money.
Yep.
And done that thing where they're like, oh, yeah, Brandon Smith, great hooker. We need one of those. Let's throw a huge chunk of cash at him. And all you end up with is a bunch of players that will fucking mercenary themselves anywhere for the highest offer. And aren't working together as a unit.
Yeah, and I mean, on paper, you know, they started the season as favourites.
Yep.
But fuck me, it has not happened. And I mean, yeah, they've had players out for a significant length of time, and you know, through either injury or their own fucking, you know, overreactive bullshit. Like, yeah, for example, dropping Sam Walker. That was the turning point, I think, when their season started coming, because they had some. Yeah, that's a loss here and there, but then Sam Walker's gone, and it's been pretty much losses ever since.
Yep.
So, but you know, it's their turn. Yeah. Unlucky Roosters, you're in the bottom four now. You won't be there for long, I'm sure. Uncle Nick's got the cash. He'll fucking fix it. Mad Monday party.
You'll get that.
Mad Monday party. Fucking Trent will have a bag on him.
Do you know what would fucking fix them?
A bag on Trent.
A fucking
Mad Monday.
A mid fullback from the Tigers on the wing.
Hi, this is Future Nate here, and I have a story to tell. In about 40 minutes from around now, around the point where we're halfway through the previews for this week's games, the Big Diesel is going to look up at his computer screen and inform me that the thing has stopped recording. After some frantic testing and looking at files, he'll discover that it stopped right about the point you're listening to now, at the end of the Roosters game chat. We determined that through the next social section, that Stepdad and I probably did most of the talking, so we're going to roll with what we have there and shit-can the rest of the recaps. You may find some Big D-sized gaps in the socials at this time, but generally speaking, it should be mostly me and Stepdad, and it should be enough there. So consider it the karaoke version, and you guys can live out your Big Diesel fantasies. Make up what he says if you're so inclined. Join into the conversation in your car, in the bathroom, wherever you consume the show. And as always, direct all social media abuse to Glennie. I'm sure you'll love it. And more than that, be very receptive.
Well, let's take a quick swing over the socials.
Do your little social thing. This is going to be the absolute fucking cream of the crop.
Look, I got people to send us what they thought was a talking point of the round, and
right.
Paraman Mark II on Twitter, he said, is Mitch Moses actually becoming a decent halfback instead of just a downhill skier? I think we've answered that, and the answer is no. You played the Gold Coast Titans, and you only lost to them because you only beat them because of a refereeing mistake. at Jared Wheaton said, can the Warriors dare to dream and find that 2011 run again?
No, but they can start like that. They can definitely do some damage. They're not going all the way to the grand final. I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think they're grand final bound?
No, but I think they're almost guaranteed finalists, and they get out of week one if they're playing sudden death.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. At Matt Will 1982 on Twitter, you said the Broncos are where they are in spite of Walters, not because of him. I didn't think that was an incredibly controversial opinion. I asked for hot takes. Look, does it matter?
Billy does was fucking matter? Carving the doggies up, mate. What game were you watching?
Dino at Dean K88. He said the Warriors can beat Penrith in the finals. Well, anyone on their fucking day.
Yeah.
Anyone on their day. In perhaps the biggest cuck tweet that I have ever read in my entire fucking life.
You're choosing to read it, though, so, like, just contextually speaking.
Well, at Cruzy06.
Okay, what's he going to say?
He said, Broncos...
Balut, so good, yum, yum.
Broncos v. Cowboys gang, grand gang. Final 2.0.
Sorry, can you say it again?
Broncos v. Cowboys grand final 2.0.
Fuck off. No.
Why would he want that?
Because, yeah, He got drunk on the duck fetus, and then he wants to get kicked in the balls again. Doesn't he feel like he was down in Sydney for that game? I mean, isn't that like a fucking like core traumatic memory? Why do you want that again?
Oh God! At Chaos Chewy, he said, "Is the refereeing and or the bunker getting worse? Cobbo binned and not charged. Tino, same thing, just a penalty. RCG facing 5 weeks, only a bin. What do you have to do to get sent these days? Every game there seems to be more and more bunker calls that are wrong." You had this a little while ago, Nate, where you were saying the bunker was coming to the conclusions, but using the wrong rules.
Oh yeah, but also there's been so many. Like, remember in that first try that Queensland scored in the second Origin game where they fucking bounced it, and then the next weekend there was a couple of tries in the NRL, the same thing where like the cunts clearly like they just fucking bounced the ball. There's no grounding or anything, and they're finding a way to say it's a try. There was another one last weekend, and I can't remember what game it was, but there was another one, and it looked like they were going to do it again, and then they were like, nah, it's not. And they're like, oh, fuck, hey, they finally. I think there's just shit decisions all around. It's not even about sending people off and all that sort of shit. It's actually, there's just some shit fucking decisions. It's like they're finding a reason to. It felt like for those tries I mentioned, it was like they're finding a reason to give it rather than take it away. Which is fine if that's what your intent is, but fuck, you've got to make it more convincing, because we all see it. We've all got the footage. It's not like this closed circuit fucking thing where they go, oh no, we got a better standpoint than all of you, and yeah, the one look that we gave you in TV land didn't look great. But we had one and it was fucking 100%. Don't worry about it. Yeah, but now with the people getting sent and everything like that. The thing with man probably got fucking punished harder because, you know, he threw a fucking forearm to the way he threw that fend, he followed through like he was trying to hit him with a forearm or an elbow. Then unluckily for him, when the guy went down, he landed on his face with his knee, and that's what caused the injury part, and it all sort of got mashed in together, and that's what resulted in the sin binning. But I mean, he still fucking did something. He still did something. I mean, the knee part was accidental, but he still did the forearm thing. And look, I'm happy for him to stamp out players throwing their forearms and their fucking elbows like weapons. And that goes double for Tino because the cunt's made it. It's literally part of his game now.
Yeah.
Just like fucking Hudson Young and pulling cunt's eyes out.
Well, that was it when they played Penrith? Did he like sent two people for an HIA within 10 minutes of each other?
There was a doggies one where he knocked out Reed Marnie, I think, didn't he? Can't remember.
Cameron, he said, Annesley apologised to the Titans for Butler not calling offside or a penalty. Another match winner decision against the Titans. Although he says the week before was deserved. Well done, sir. Take your medicine. We've already spoken about that one.
Yeah, that is true. That's like the week before was, agree that. I mean, it's a fucking tough call to make, but it was the right call to make.
And by that being true, that's the reason you got fucked this weekend. That's why we say you got fucked this weekend.
Exactly.
Because that was such a wrong decision.
Yep.
Glenny, one for you from Lachlan, at Lachlan 2505 on Twitter. He said, the current issue surrounding Benji and Fulton seems like it's going to boil over. Players' managers are apparently not wanting to send players there due to supposed poor player development under Benji.
Did you watch 360, Glenny? Oh, because I had your mate fucking come to San Diego, fucking the fedora wearing cunt. Well, it was only Lee. He was on the show.
What the fuck is the go with that hat, hey?
Oh, he's just down in Cuba fucking drinking Dark and Stormy. He's loving life.
Oh, God.
So, I didn't see it either because I refused to watch that bullshit. And I didn't see it. A ton mustn't have come out of it because I haven't seen on Twitter people going crazy about it either. But yeah, because the story goes is that Fulton was hired by Pasco and Lee without consultation for Sheenius and Benji. So,
yeah.
Well,
so here's the thing, right? And this is, look, here's the benefit of running the fucking socials this way. We're going to cover off half the news as well.
Well, yeah, exactly. We can pretty much cover all of it.
But Tigers coach Tim Sheens has reportedly not been invited to an emergency meeting at Concord on Monday, further highlighting his declining, yes, I kid you not, it's in there, influence at the club.
It's also kind of one of those, you know, workplace relation situations where if you've got like a bunch of disagreements and decisions need to be made, get the cunts who can agree together to get to talk about it. And then
reports that recruitment manager Scott Fulton and assistant coach Benji Marshall were summoned by the club chairman and chief executive to thrash out their differences, but Sheens was not invited. So this is getting the cunts who can't agree.
Yeah, that's it. Maybe that's it. It's not so much against Genius. It's the other two are the ones that are button heads. So
insiders said that the warring pair will be issued with an ultimatum to start working together or face the consequences.
Yeah, and we see the results of this already. Like, so they got the signatures of the Fainus today.
Yep.
And that was after they had to make assurances and everything on the coaching. So they're going to bring in some other coaches. Apparently, people like Justin Holbrook and stuff like that have been talked about as potentially going there to bolster the coaching ranks. So they've got some decent, you know, staff in there. And I mean, they had to pay those Fainus. He's not cutting it. Look, I wouldn't make that judgment, but I mean, you know, I'm just saying what the streets is telling me.
So Glenny, the disagreement at the moment is that Benji wants Aiden Caesar to replace Luke Brooks.
I'm going to go out on a limb here with no knowledge. I'm going to go out on a limb here and tell you that is going to happen 100%. And I'll tell you why. They got Fulton got the Fainus today, and so now Benji has to get his win to keep things sweet. And so Caesar's going to come in, because also the other thing that the Tigers have none of is halves.
They don't.
No halves, no experience. They're paying $500,000 a year for kids that have played fucking one kid that's played three games of first grade, one kid that's played six games of Reggie's, who didn't want to wait. Who's played six games of Reggie's and wants to play first grade now, god damn it. And he doesn't want to wait until his time comes because he's sick of the club holding him back because, you know, behind the... Hang on, who's Manly's halfback again? Oh, yeah, the Queensland State of Origin captain. So, yeah, they've walked into a shitstorm of fucking undevelopment there and good careers, fellas.
The other thing is here. So, Glenny, you need to be get on your fuck Benji shit.
Glenny, I'll never be on fuck Benji. What are you talking about?
So Fulton is understood to want to pursue Jack Cogger.
No, that's Fulton's guy.
So Fulton, Benji wants Aiden.
He's been talked about a lot.
Benji wants Aiden Caesar. Fulton wants Cogger. Then it goes deeper because it's the West Tigers.
Always does.
According to the Sydney Morning Herald, tensions have surfaced after Marshall's manager was prompted to deny suggestions his client was set to benefit from the Tigers' recruitment of Caesar. So, it followed claims from Fulton's godfather, Peter Peters, that a senior figure at the club...
I fucking love it.
Right? So, that a senior figure at the club was pushing for Caesar as the club's next recruit due to owning a 15% share in ARIA management who represent Marshall. So,
and apparently that's those allegations were highly defamatory and untrue.
There you go.
But I tell you, just as an aside, I love it that now you've got a Fulton in your club and we've fucked all the Fultons off from our club. Now all of a sudden Dean Ritchie hasn't got anything to say about Manly and neither has Zorba because their information, they only got information coming out of one club now.
Yeah.
And it's the West Tigers, so enjoy yourself. and that is why there was a purge earlier this year.
There we go. Jeff. Real fucking breezy on Twitter. He said RCG should have been sent for that dog shot. And finally, at YouthWork13, the Cowboys to knock the Broncos out in the final at Suncorp.
Love to see it.
What a fucking prediction. Speaking of weird, though, you saw the weird press release that Manly put out?
Yeah, it was uncalled for. But I mean, I don't know if we spoke about it on the show. But I mean, someone asked about it on in the Facebook group, and I put it in there because completely unrelated. About 2-3 weeks ago, I was just curious and just had a look, and so I got my head together with a couple of people in the know, and just to help me out, and get the numbers just to figure out who managed who and how many, what the numbers were. And they came back like remarkably similar to that release. So I can't help but wonder if one of the people I spoke to that had ties to the Manly Club mentioned something to them.
Oh, shit.
because I tell you, some of those fucking managers, those things are not fucking public and they are hard to fucking find.
Yeah.
Like, I had to fucking dig to get some of these fucking managers. And that's where, and there were a couple I couldn't. And then so that bolstered up a couple of the guys that were at the lower end. And, look, I mean, I wish every club would do it, but I mean, it should just be something that's just kind of public, really. I mean, because there's nothing that we as fans of the game can do. It doesn't help us or hinder us in any way knowing who is the agent for who.
Honestly, a lot of the time, like I'm just thinking, worst case. Can you imagine the poor, receptionist at whatever agency it is after such and such a player loses someone's fucking multi. you fucking tell that useless cunt.
Or put something on Instagram or something and and they're snitching on them and shit,
That's it. But for those who don't know, Manly, just out of fucking nowhere, put this press release out about which player managers manage who at their club, because the concern was that there was a certain manager that was gaining influence.
That was the manager in control of the club.
Whether you can say control or not, but, and it's been an issue for a while. Like, cast your eye back to, yet again, if you want a shit show, the best example of a shit show is always the Tigers. You look at what happens when they were negotiating with Brooks, Teddy, and Woods.
Mm.
And lo and behold, they're all managed by the same person.
Yeah, the problem with the Tigers one wasn't that necessarily who the manager was.
It was also that they all came off together.
It was the fact that they all came off. The fact that they weren't fucking staggered, it was just mind-numbingly ridiculous. I mean, extensions, you put extensions in place so you don't have a situation where everyone... Because at the time, that was considered the big four of the club, like the nucleus of the entire fucking club.
Yeah.
And to have them all come off at the same time is just fucking ridiculous.
Oh, fuck, that's right. It was, what's his name too? Mitch Moses too. There was four.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it was literally the big four.
So Manly just out of nowhere, with the without anybody asking, has come out with a press release. We're going, we're okay.
And they knew what they were doing too, because I mean they know the guys like SFX and fucking Wasserman and fucking Crown have got like so many fucking players in the club, and I think and what it does show is there's a fucking massive spread of managers, and there's like there's about 10 managers across the club. I mean, there's ones that aren't really managers because there's players that kind of, run themselves like daily. And so he's got his own guy. And then there's a couple of guys that are sort of like, you see the newer sort of guys in the game, like Clint Shafkovsky's and stuff, who's just sort of coming up. But yeah, then you got like Wasserman's like huge in like New Zealand. So you see a lot of Kiwi, Kiwi heritage players, or just Kiwi, players who obviously, entered the game via being juniors in New Zealand, and sort of got scooped up that way. And so I would actually expect Wasserman to have an increasing influence in the years to come, because Manly set up junior pathways in New Zealand again as well. Going back to the old Maori Ranga days.
There we are. Okay. Nice. Well, there's our first social segment.
That's actually good, because it covers off fucking news and everything in one hit.
That's it. Yeah. So next,
and actually prompts us on the people that they want, what they want us to fucking talk about as well. So
exactly. That's what I like. It's a little bit more engagement rather than us reading stuff. But next week,
hashtag fuck the Broncos eight times.
I'm sure we'll have some more actual game specific ones. But I'll put the call out on Twitter. Please reply to the tweet that I put out. Don't just send it.
Yeah, don't do like quote tweets and the rest of that sort of shit either.
Yeah, that's it. So
make it easy for your stepdad to fucking rustle it all up.
That's it.
And you do that, then you'll likely hear your handle. Maybe you should get on Threads. Make a thread.
I'm on Threads. I don't get Threads.
No, I don't get it either.
It's Twitter, but you don't get to choose who you look at.
Yeah, it's like Twitter. It's because it's such a Wild West. Like, I was on there really early, like, you know, sort of like 15 minutes after someone said it was up. And it was like, you know, first couple 100,000 sort of thing of, you know, something that's like 100 million now. But it was a fucking shit show from the word go. But it wasn't like a toxic shit show. It was like a happy shit show. But it's still a shit show.
My thing is, there's no verb.
Yeah.
I can't say, I'm going to tweet that. What do you say? I'm going to thread that?
I'm going to sew it. I'm going to embroider it.
Yeah.
I'm going to crochet it.
I'm going to needle it.
Yeah. But the thing is like, to this day, I mean, I only look at it like once a day now at the most, because I'm just like, all these, I don't, like, algorithm, I don't care if you give me cunts that I don't know. That's cool. But give me cunts that
make them interesting. Are,
like, related to people. Like, because the amount of shit I saw in the early days of, like, okay, let's settle this once and for all. Does pineapple go on pizza? Or, like, you know, this versus this. Like, yeah, like shit that's like age old, 10 years ago this shit was, you know what I mean? Like, and it's like people just trying to throw out the most generic, stupid shit to...
It's not even the funny stuff.
No, it's not at all.
Like, have you seen on all of Segura's podcasts, he plays the Would You Rather game?
I've listened to engage with a thing of his in a year.
Love it. Yeah, Would You Rather, you know?
Which is also like a fucking super old playground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're actually good. It's not all pineapple in the pizza.
You know what the worst thing about Threads was that I saw? Because you know how the plus side, they made it really, really frictionless to get on and like follow a lot of people, because you could just follow your Instagram people straight away.
My
Twitter is a toxic place of full of cunts that I either hate read or hate with.
Yeah.
My Instagram is a different thing. It's specifically Japanese travel.
Yep.
And hot redheads with tattoos. That's it. Problem is, though, when you do the bulk follow and they all get sent over to Threads, and you're like, oh, now the tits have opinions and words. And I don't like them as much as I did. Anyway. First world problems, there as they say.
Is there any other news? Put that on Threads right now.
No, I don't think so. I think we actually got to all the little points. Okay, first game coming up this week, Thursday. It is Spoonapalooza, aka Hyper Bowl, aka the brawl to decide the absolute pack of cunts for 2023.
Shouldn't we just call it the Scissors Bowl?
Why scissors?
Well, isn't scissoring when two cunts just mash against each other for an extended period of time?
Yep.
Oh, the toaster bath bowl.
Yeah, I tell you, how many synonyms for the wooden spoon battle can we come up with through this show over the years? Dragons, heavily favoured. Their side this week, Paul Turner's out, Jaden Sullivan's out, Ben Murdoch-Masilla's out. Welcoming back Tyrell Sloan, big in Ben Hunt, Jack Bird as well. Tigers side, Kapoa, Smith, Simkin out. Nofaluma back. Dane Laurie back at 5'8", no less. And Talon De Silva to the bench. Glennie, how are you going to win this one?
By playing better rugby league than the Dragons, which is something that we do often, and scoring more points than them, which is something that most sides do. Look, the Dragons are horrible at football. Their fans are horrible at being human beings. They're a pack of cunts, the playing group and the fans, their entire organisation, and they'll get what's coming to them at Wollongong tomorrow night.
Wait, I think as you look across the field, though, Glennie, you must admit there are a couple of areas that the Dragons have you, like just have you, in that Ben Hunt is a great quality half. And with the inclusion of Sloan, they don't have a mid fullback.
They're just about enough of your shit tonight, mate.
Um, You can win this game. You need a differential of about 60 to get yourself off the bottom of the ladder.
Done.
Good. And obviously, there's like, you know, half a dozen games to go after that, but...
Because the Tigers do really well when they know exactly what they need to do to avoid something.
Boys, we've got to go out and win by 60. Got it. Fuck, I said win by 60, you cunts.
And can I tell you, I love, I mean, for a good old-fashioned hyperbole, I love the form line for these sides. The West Tigers first. Loss, buy, loss. Dragons, buy, loss, buy. So
tapering to the big game.
both of them absolutely tapering for this one. And look, it's going to be incredible. It's going to be on Patreon, the Game Companion, obviously. How could we not? And Glennie, I think Ben Hunt single-handedly.
If only we could get a Dragons fan on the fucking Game Companion.
Oh,
he's already offered, but fuck him. He's not welcome at my house.
I can get him to dial in for it. Right. Oh, that's the benefit of the fast internet now. We get a fucking party line going. Can you imagine?
What's the Friday game?
Friday, first one. Warriors versus the Raiders. This one's over in New Zealand. The Warriors, without Curran and Bailey Sirenin, returning Bunty Ofoa and Nukore. The Raiders side, Frawley, Mooney and Holler out, Papali'i, Horsberg and Solo in. Warriors by plenty.
Yeah.
Basically to prove everything that I've ever said on the podcast over the last 2 weeks about them correct.
Here's a big test for the Raiders. Big fucking test for the Raiders.
Raiders are fake top 4 team, fake top 8 team.
Wow.
Let's go on Warriors.
And the Warriors. Who's favourite for that game? Probably Warriors at home, yeah?
Yeah, $1.40 to almost $3 for the Raiders.
Yep. Look, honestly, if the Warriors play that brand of football, which was as you said, like just like super high completion, yet, you know, adventurous attack.
Yeah.
And if they defend as well as they have been, I mean, they're defensively, they just seem to be getting better and better, because that is something that will improve through the quality coaching they've obviously been receiving this season and their conditioning and the rest of it. Yeah, I just don't see the Raiders competing with them. An easy win to the Warriors. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in New Zealand. We're there.
Yep. Righto, the Rabbits take on the Broncos. This one is the 8 p.m. game. It's happening at Sunshine Coast Stadium. Another practically home game for the Broncos when it's an away game for them. The Rabbits. Richie Kenner's out. Tyrone Munro's out. Dean Hawkins, Ben Lovett, Shaq Mitchell, Peter Mamazoulis, Talis Duncan, David Mowale, and Liam Knight all out. Welcoming back Latrell Mitchell, Campbell Graham, Cody Walker, Damian Cook, Hame Sele, Keon Kalamatungi, Jai Arrow, Jesus. Cam Murray, and Jacob Host. Like, that's a pretty good fucking half a team to get put back into your side.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, rep players and the rep players, it would have been rep players, but for the fact they were injured, all coming back in. And the Broncos side, Tristan Saylor, Wilson, Dean Mariner, they're out. Returning, Reese Walsh, Payne Haas, Pat Carrigan. Also, on a smaller scale, but a similar situation for the Broncos.
Sure. Big game, big test for the Broncos.
So many different narratives in this one. There's the Reynolds versus his old club. I don't know, he's faced them before, but there's the Rabbits looking to build. There's the
Rabbits got their players back.
And also the games after Origin.
Yeah.
You know, what's Cody Walker's post Origin going to be like? Is it going to have no effect? I don't think he'll go off the deep end, but you know,
is he going to come back in God mode because he's so fucking great, you know,
which has fucking happened before. So, look, my gut says to tip the Rabbits.
Yep,
my gut says to tip the Rabbits.
Same.
Because look, the Broncos that slide. I don't at this point. It could still happen. I don't think it's going to happen this year. Having said that, though. We don't live in hope, and they've had a fairly charmed run in terms of schedule and location of the schedule.
Here's that thing, though. With the points they've been leaking, there's a risk there. And if Souths get on a run, there could be a big score here.
And I can't, and I wonder how the Rabbits are going to come back. Like now they've got their players back in. Are we going to see them when they were sort of, they'd gotten themselves out to sort of competition favourites by about round six? Is that the South we're going to see before, or, you know, are they going to actually pull themselves out of this slide they've sort of had over the last 5 or 6 weeks where they've been, you know, strung out with injuries and, yeah, and origin players and stuff like that. So this is a test. And we'll see what they look like. But I'm going to favour the Rabbits because fuck the Broncos. And also because I think the Rabbits are full strength. This is about full strength for the Rabbits. I think they're just a better team. You know, strength on strength. The Titans take on the Roosters down at Hope Solo. Titans side, Shoop is out. Tino is out. Brimson comes in and Stimson. The Roosters. Power goes out. White is out. Teddy is in and Terrell May is in. Why is White out? Was he injured? Because, I mean, fuck, I mean, that guy's been, you know, he's been everything he was supposed to be for them.
That's it.
Right, what else? Joey Manu goes fullback to centre. Swali goes centre to wing. Obviously, Teddy comes back, goes to fullback. Look, Roosters.
I had the Titans here in my ladder predictor.
Yeah.
But just based on how they have squandered opportunity when they've had it and squandered momentum, especially in games. Yeah, I'm tipping the Roosters here.
Hey, look, Tino is a big out for them. Mm, I mean, yeah. If you talk about their packet, I mean, guys like David Fifita is obviously great, and he's having, you know, a great, you know, potentially career season. Mo's great, but Isaac Liu is fucking washed. Aaron Clark is nothing.
Yeah,
I mean, Jaden Campbell on the bench. He's a very fucking, I've probably spoken about it before, but he's a confusing fucking player because
great attack. Where's the defense?
Great attack, no size to defend with, and as an interchange, like you're kind of putting him on as like a hookerish or lockish kind of character, and he doesn't, you know,
he doesn't have the build for that.
It's just tough to find. It's, you really need him to be fullback in a specific side that plays a certain way that's going to insulate him somewhat from the... But, you know, with fullback, by nature of what it is, you know, it's an isolating position. So, yeah, don't know what to do with him. Anyway, I think the Roosters...
Roosters.
Defensively. I'm going
to take the Titans.
Yeah, you would, you cuck.
Oh... Oh my God.
I don't know. I just wanted to attack you. I just wanted to smash something pretty. All right.
That's lovely. I appreciate you saying that.
The Knights take on the Storm in Newcastle. Fuck me, those cunts get enough home games this season too. The Knights side. Tuala's out, Gay Guy comes back in. The Storm side, no changes from the side that brutalized the Roosters last week.
No chance.
This is the test of the consistency of the Melbourne Storm side, and if they are in fact tapering as it appears that they are, you know, for another assault on the finals.
Yeah, I don't think this is any test whatsoever. I think they should go into this one full of confidence and almost expect to win.
Yeah.
Done.
I agree.
Melbourne.
The Cowboys take on the Eels up there at the abattoir in North Queensland. The changes are Jake Granville goes from lock to the bench. Ruben Cotter moves to starting lock. The Eels, RCG is out, suspended obviously, replaced by Ofhiki Ogden. And this is, you know, it's kind of a test for the Cowboys, I guess. I mean, the Eels are supposed to be one of those sides. They're not quite there. But given their position on the ladder, you know, this game is an opportunity for North Queensland to leapfrog them into the eight. I mean, winner takes a spot. It's an important game for them. It's like a 4-point game for them, really, because, you know, they're tied on competition points with the Eels at the moment. Behind on four and against, but it doesn't matter if they, you know, they're going to jump ahead of them, you know, if they can get the win. And look, honestly, I don't, they're defending far better. Their goal line defense especially has been great, which is a feature last year, and they've sort of got it back. It was, you know, there was a time where they didn't have it. I mean, they played the West Tigers, for fuck's sake, the first time around. They didn't have it. They seem to have it back now, though. And not the way, just the way that their forwards, and particularly the likes of, you know, Nanai and Cotter, roll through, and obviously, you know, guys like, you know, Tal Malolo, unstoppable. The Eels, you know, down on a big troop in RCG, their biggest. Still without Dylan Brown as well, is still, serving some of his insufficient penalty for, you know, becoming a sex offender. I think Cowboys.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys are building. They're on an upward tick, and I think they RCG out. That, you know, places a lot of onus on Junior Barlow to really set the tone for the forwards, and I think the Cowboys will get hold of Parra early and win this one pretty convincingly.
Right, the Panthers take on the Doggies in Penrith. Do we even talk about the ins and outs? I mean, fucking, like, the good. Bulldogs pay $13 versus the Panthers $1.02.
There you go.
This is an absolute fucking 50. Well, look, it's fair to say that, you know, Cleary, Yo, and To'o and Crichton, those guys are back in the side. Peachy's out. Doesn't fucking matter what the Dogs do.
Yep.
But Sexy Boy is not in the side this week. So, and he's basically been their only talisman to performance.
Mm.
You know, he was knocked out of he's knocked out of the game against the Broncos, and you see what happens. And previous game took him to a win. Look, I don't even know what we're talking about this game. The Panthers are going to win this game. This is going to be a 50 burger. I guarantee punters. If you can bet on points scored by a side, I don't know. I don't gamble, so I don't know what the fucking exotics are these days, but if you can bet for a side to score 50 points and the side being Penrith in this game, fucking bank it. It's free money. Free fucking money. You agree, Glennie?
Oh, fuck. I didn't really feel like I needed to waste any energy on that game. Yes.
Come on, don't let me shout in the fucking void here, bro.
Penrith by a fucking million.
Final game, Sharkies take on Siege Eagles in at Reclaim Australia Stadium. And the Sharks have finally, you know, a week too early, I think, in my opinion, have wielded the axe, getting rid of Matt Moylan and Wade Graham. Tig Wilton out as well. Connor Tracy comes in to centre. Braden Trindle to 5'8", and Finucane. Well, I guess they replaced one washed player with another. Talakai moves to the bench. McInnes moves to the bench. And the Seagulls, we've got Toff Sipley has been moved to the bench. He should have been dropped. Bullimore he's been dropped. That's good. Bullimore, unlucky to have been dropped. Kepi returns after his stint in Reggie's. And this is the debut of the big cunt himself, Matt Lodge, on the bench. So, look, I expect that cunt to be the second best prop in the team on the weekend, regrettably. But we'll fucking see. Look, it's a team that's not in the top eight, so you know, the Sharkies would like their chance, but at the same time, fuck, they were average last week.
Really bad. Really bad.
You would have to imagine there's got to be a bounce back of some sorts at home, but I mean, the Sharks are a real fucking danger of being the side that slips out the ass of the eight to accommodate the Cowboys.
Certainly playing that way.
I'm not sure it's this week though. Big test for Fitzy and how he responds, because I think last week was, you know, the Sharks have had some losses and they've had some bigger losses, but I think last
week they got a 50 burger on them from so they're already done for the season.
But I think this was one of the most disappointing ones.
Yeah.
No, just the attitude they showed. But yeah.
Well, they felt like they thought they could win.
Sharks to bounce back. That's us.
Yeah, Sharks to get fucking there smashed.
We're done.
That's it.
How good.
525. And
500 look, and a quarter.
We're talking about this in real time as we actually record this part of the show. Let's see what I can fucking retrieve and cobble together from the earlier part of the show. I hope you enjoyed the stuff I could cobble together from the previous part of the show.
This patchwork quilt of an episode.
Exactly. But look, it's a mystery to me. It's a mystery. I mean, it's not a mystery to you guys. Buddy. You just listen to it. It's a mystery to me. I know you're sorry, Glennie. Don't be sorry, mate.
I don't like to cause you extra work.
Don't do enough. Don't be sorry.
Don't be sorry. The big D apologise, Glennie.
No, he
does. Don't be sorry. Be better.
He does so much for us. Well, I don't know. I give you everything I've got. If it's not good enough, go fuck yourself.
That's the fucking C-grade attitude I expect. Right, that's it.
All right.
See you next week.
See
later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.